Okay. I must say, I love being a pastor. I've got to tell you that I've only been a pastor for 2 months, and there hasn't been one day that goes by that I think, jeepers, I wish I was in my old life. It really is. It's the most amazing thing, actually, is to see the hand of God moving. And I stand up here most Sundays, and I tell you what the Lord's doing in my life. But I'd like to share something. We are, as you know, we're having a Thanksgiving service next Sunday. So it's an opportunity, basically, for you in the church to come and share with the rest of us exactly what the Lord's doing in your life. Because I know He's not just working in mine and the people who come and share the word, He's working in every single one of our lives. So, as an encouragement to the rest of us, next week, we're going to be handing this mic over to you. So we've already got a few people come forward. If you do feel that you want to testify, bring something encouraging to the congregation, please come see us at the office on Monday. Thank you. So how's the Lord's hand been moving recently? Wow. Let's go to Operation Makeover that's happening on Wednesday. As you know, we are looking for volunteers, and a lot of people have volunteered, and I want to thank you for that. But the Lord has been so good. I can't even mention all the names, but one of the specific people I just want to, I was standing in Build It, and Jonathan Peach, who owns Build It, came up to me, and we started chatting. So one thing led to the next. He's donating 60 liters of PVA paint and 10 liters of enamel, which is an amazing thing because we're going to be painting the whole inside. As most of you know, we're changing the inside. We've got so many volunteers. I mean, we've had a new basin already put in by Michelle from Franchuk Plumbing. Doug from The Handyman is doing some tiling for us. Adele is doing some paint preparation. There's so many names. There's so many names and people. And I just want to thank you all. For contributing whatever you have, whether it's been your prayer, whether it's been your money. Suzanne and Steve also came and gave us a whole lot of stuff the other day, masking tape and brushes and all sorts of things. So I just want to thank everybody for, as I say, your prayers, your time, your money. And I can really guarantee that we're going to have an amazing day. So come and share with us. The only person who's not allowed to come is Johnny Bell because it's his birthday. So I've given. he's not allowed to come. All the rest of you are welcome to come. but as you know, what's been happening is we actually started in our house, the pastor's house over there. Before we moved in, we did a bit of a makeover there, and I don't know if some of you have been to the house. It's actually looking a lot nicer. Next, we've moved on to the church. Now this operation. Makeover is a kickstart to our property. It's not the final thing. You can see we even started there. Okay, it needs to come down a little bit and back a bit, but we're getting there. The guy who installed that on Friday left at 5 o'clock, and he's only coming back next week because we want it bigger, so you can see it. But we've now entered the church. Our next project is the campsite. Now we know what's going on at that campsite. It's underutilized. I've mentioned it before to a lot of you. But I believe that God gave us this campsite for a very specific purpose. It's not only a campsite. As far as I'm concerned, and a lot of people I've been speaking to, it's an adventure ministry. And we want to make Eagle's Nest the best adventure ministry in the Western Cape. Now, how are we going to do this? Well, we're not. God is. That's the thing. That's the beautiful thing. I'm not going to do anything. But God is. And you know how faithful God is? Let me tell you. I'm sitting in my office, and this couple walks in. I'm not going to give you their names yet because we're only signing on the dotted line on next week. Well, hopefully we're signing. But basically, this couple has been running campsites for 10 years. They've got experience in it. They've got their heart is in it. Their passion is there. And I asked them two simple questions when they first came in. I said to them, "Are you baptized in water?" They said, "Yes." I said, "Are you baptized by the Holy Spirit?" They said, "Yes." So I said, "Where do I find a man like you and a woman like you, a couple like you?" So they said, "No, we're kind of hard to find." So I said, no, I want a couple exactly like you to come and work here. Left it. They came back a few days later and said, you know, the Lord's been working on our hearts and we really feel that we should leave where we are now because it's not a Christian-based campsite and that we should come here. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to have an on-site camp manager, but they need to live in Philip's house, okay? Philip lives over there. And they need to take over Renee's job because Renee is the administrator of the campsite. So I'm like pleading with God, what's going on? You know, we got to make, what's happening? Please, you have to make a plan. So anyway, what happens is the day I'm about to give my letter to Philip to say you've got notice to move out, I haven't pulled out the letter yet. And he comes to me and he says, Yanni, I've got great news. I found a house. So I'm like, well, I don't know if I need to give this to you anymore, but here it is anyway, just to make it official. The Friday, I had the interview with this couple and head office, because I asked head office to come and interview the people. The Friday they came, Renee came to me and said, I've got an interview with the people I used to work with. They want me to come and work for them again. She hasn't signed on the dotted line, but we stand here in faith that she will get the job. And what's so great about it is she can sort of still help us out while we carry over to this new couple. So what I'm trying to say is that the Lord is amazing. He's working here. He's working here. But ministry is not all roses and bubbles and love. There are some challenges. There's definitely challenges along the way and some disappointments too. I'm going to share one of the disappointments. There's a young man in our congregation. He had been sponsored for the last 3 years at a technical college. Their social services were paying for it. And basically the scholarship ran out. So one of the members of our congregation has a business in town, and he decided to take this young man under his wing to train him up in a skill. So he was working there for a week, and I get a call from the gentleman who owns the business, and we catch up, and basically this young man has been selling the things they manufacture in the business out on the black market, okay? So obviously it's very disappointing, and the owner of the business says to me, should I call the police? I said, look, it's up to you. If you want to press charges, you can. It's your business. But I called the young gentleman in. And I said to him, what were you doing last night? So he says to me, I was visiting my friends and I went to the neighbor. I said, and what else? No, nothing else. So I said, are you sure? So he says, yes, no, nothing else. So I said, okay, let me help you a little bit more. Why are you not at work today? So he says, no, I had to take my little brother to school, and therefore I got to work late, so the boss told me to go home. So I said, you're lying to me. So he said, no, I'm not lying to you. Now let me tell you a little bit of background about this boy. This boy doesn't live in his own home. He's been moved from foster house to foster house. He's been beaten his whole life by his parents. He comes from a serious place of abuse. So the only thing he knows is how to lie, especially in situations like this. So he's lying to me. And I know he's lying to me. So eventually, I confront him with the truth. And I say, look, this is what you've been doing. You've been stealing stuff and you've been selling it on the black market in Krundel. So I said to him, look, I just want to tell you, and I'm telling you, people as well as my brothers and sisters, we are all children of God. Even if we are disobedient children, we are still children of God. And I said to him, you know, the Lord loves you and he still loves you. Even though you stole and you lied to me right now, he still loves you. But he is going to allow you to live the choices that you made. So you're going to have the consequences of the choices you made. And your first consequence is you've lost your job. You don't have a school to go to. Now you've lost your job. Now, this boy, I know it's his birthday because I was ministering with him and a group of other guys the other day. It's his birthday on the 22nd of June. So a couple of weeks ago, I said to him, look, I've got a surprise for you. Because he's probably the most disadvantaged, one of the most disadvantaged people in this church, I wanted to bless him. So I said, okay, your first consequence is you've lost your job. Now, I said, remember the other day I said I had a surprise for you? So he said, yes. So I pulled out a ticket for the World Cup, which is on the 20th. His birthday is on the 22nd, and the match is on the 21st. I said to him, this is a World Cup ticket that I was going to give you. Okay? And I just want to tell you that I'm still giving you this World Cup ticket because I believe in you. I believe that deep down inside, there's a good guy inside of you. And I believe in you. So I still want to take you to the match. Now, I don't know if something shifted in the spirit, but I kind of felt that it did because he's been treating me in a very different way. And let me tell you, you know what I did right there? I offered him some grace. Now, we've been speaking about grace for a long time. And I, you know what? It felt great. It felt absolutely amazing. This boy did not deserve to go to that match, but I gave him grace. You know why I gave him grace? Because God gives me grace. God gives me grace all the time. All the time. And let me explain to you how he is giving me grace right now. Just before I jump there, one thing that did jump to mind was a scripture in James. And I want to read it out to you. It says, James 2:13, it says, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, mercy triumphs over judgment. I'll read that again. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I gave that boy a chance. The Lord is giving me a chance. Now, you may ask why. Why is the Lord giving me grace at this particular point in time? Now, it's confession time. Pastor's confession. I, Yanni Akavlos, is struggling to read the Word of God. Yes, the shock, the horror. The pastor of the church is struggling to read the Word of God. Well, let me explain to you. I need to actually go back a little bit because I feel that God gave me a vision. He gave me a vision the other day. And I want to share that vision with you. Because I actually believe it's for everybody here. I believe it's for everybody. It was a double vision, actually. I've never had a double vision before. What happened was I was kneeling by my bed. And I was praying, and suddenly it felt like all the walls, the roof, everything had gone. And I was kneeling, but hunched over, completely hunched over. So I'm going to just show you how I'm hunched over. I'm on my knees, all hunched up. And I'm in the mighty throne room of God. And that is, I can't look at God because there's such power and light coming off Him. But there's light everywhere and it is enormous. I'm in this massive room. The room's so massive, I can't see the walls on either side. But I just know that I'm in the throne room of God. And His power is mighty. And I'm just in this little ball sitting right there. And the vision ends. So I'm thinking, wow, what happened? What's that about? So I just want to leave you with that thought right now. I want to leave you with that thought. I'll come back to it and I'll give you the second part of the vision a little bit later. But what I want to tell you though is I'm struggling to read the Word of God. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Let me tell you, I'm still praying. God still loves me. God's grace is still there. God's still blessing me. I mean, you just have to look around this church. If you can't see that the Lord is blessing this church, you've got to be pretty unobservant. What I'm trying to say to you is, it doesn't matter. I'm still His child. Even though I'm not spending as much time as I should be in the Word, I know that He still blesses me. Now, I'm not saying to you, don't read the Word. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is, God's grace is upon me. I'm still His child, even if I'm a disobedient child. Now, What does a pastor do when he's struggling to read the word? What does a pastor do? He does the same as everybody else should do. He brings it into the light. He brings it into the light. So what I did was, I meet every Friday, well, it's actually Thursdays now, it's changed, with the ministry training program group, because I'm still actually training to be a pastor. I've been ordained, but my training ends at the end of June. Every Thursday I meet. So what do? I have this group of people, there's about 10 of us who normally meet, and I share it. But I'm too afraid, not afraid, I don't want to share it with the group. I don't think it's something worth discussing in the group. So after we've met, I take two guys I've got a relationship with, two guys that I've built a relationship with over the last 6 months. I take them aside and I say, Sasunda and Vickers, this is my problem. I'm struggling to read the word. I know God loves me. He's even still close. It's not like he's a million miles away. I know he hears my voice. I know these things. But I also know in my heart that I'm not getting the fullness of growth in my spirit because I'm not reading the word. And that is what I was fearing. Because you can go through life without reading the word and still have a relationship with God, but you're not going to grow. So I confessed this to my two brothers. And before I continue, I just got a question to ask you. Who is your accountability partner? Who's your prayer partner? Do you have one? I think you should get one or two. Anyway, so there I am with Sasunda and Vickers. And they're praying for me. And Sasunda gets a vision. Now this is how he encourages me. This is an encouragement because I couldn't see it at the time, and this is why I can share what I'm sharing. Sasunda says, I see you. And whoever's got children will understand this more than those who don't, but you'll still understand it. I see you like a child playing on the floor with games and toys and stuff, and Father God standing behind you, like a parent watching his child play. The parent is not unhappy with me playing because I confessed that I was getting too busy with things of the ministry. So he said to me, God the Father is standing behind you. I see this picture and he is saying, he's pleased. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry. Don't worry. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. Like a parent enjoys watching his own child have fun. But he says every now and again, don't forget to just look back. Don't forget to look back. They prayed some more stuff, and I wish I could say abracadabra, but you know God's not magic. I didn't jump back straight into the Word. I didn't. But what I did do is I continued to bring it into the light. I met for my monthly regional pastors meeting in Paul on Wednesday, this Wednesday. And we're sharing how things are going. Now we're in a group again, the pastors from Malmesbury, from Paul, Franchuk, Muscle Bay, and George. Now this time, there is a group, and I am comfortable to share because I've already shared it once in a trusting relationship, and it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. So I bring it out into the light again, and they give me some pastorly advice of what to do. They pray for me, and while I'm sharing, more of the darkness comes out of my heart. What I'm trying to explain to you is, the first time I shared, yes, I shared some stuff, but then I shared more the second time because more came out. The second time was easier to talk about it. And what did I say? I said, you know what happens to me? I find that the Sundays that I don't preach, that week beforehand is where I start slipping in the Word. When I preach, I'm desperate to hear from God. So I spend time in the Word because I've got to bring a message to everyone. So it kind of puts me under pressure. And I know you people, my brothers and sisters, don't have that same pressure. But it shouldn't be a pressure. It should be something that I'm loving and wanting to do. And I do. I love sharing. I love sharing. But why I'm telling you this is because I want to show you. I want to show you what accountability, prayer, and faith has to do with issues in your life. Now, they prayed for me on Wednesday. On Thursday, On Thursday, I wake up with this burning desire to share a message with you. And the message is called My Word. My Word. Now, I want you to just keep in fact that vision that I mentioned earlier today, early in the sermon. I want to come back to it at the end. But just to start, how powerful is God's Word? How powerful is God's Word? Let's see what Scripture says. I'm just going to give you three examples. There's many. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. Wow. Heaven and earth. Matthew 8:16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Him, and He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Made the heavens and earth, cast out demons with a word. Powerful. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I mean, there was nothing. God spoke the universe into being. Now, there's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. Nothing. Nothing more powerful than the Word of God. Whatever He speaks comes into being. Whatever He speaks comes into being. Now, I must share, I know some of you have heard part of this story, but I'm going to share my very, very first experience of the Word of God and speaking into being. I was driving in a car with my mother and my mother, my two sisters and my brother. We were traveling from Zimbabwe down to South Africa, and I was sleeping in the back. Next thing I wake up, the car is swerving from side to side. My mother's lost control of the car. Next thing, we're tumbling down, rolling the car. Next thing, I'm in darkness. I'm in complete and utter darkness. I look up, and I know it sounds cliche, but I'm going to tell you how it happened. I look up, and there's a bright channel of light coming down. I'm 12 years old at this stage. I don't know the Lord. I don't know anything about the Lord. This channel of light, sort of the center of my chest. And as time passes and time's kind of oblivious, I start to rise towards this light, up towards it. Almost, if you can imagine yourself at the bottom of a well, and you've got this light. And all of a sudden, I hear a unison of voices. Now, at that time, I didn't know. I believe to this day it was the unison of Father God, Jesus, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe it was three voices in one. I didn't determine that at the time. And the voices said two words, Yanni, breathe. At that precise moment, I got given my life back. I turned around, wasn't facing the light anymore. I looked down. I had an entire bird's eye view of the entire accident scene. I could see my mother. I could see cars have stopped. I could see people around. I could see exactly what was going on. And then I could see me. As I saw me, like a suction, I went whoop, back into my body, like a hand slipping into a glove. Now, that is the power of God's Word. He said to me, Yanni, breathe. It was not my time to die. I almost died that day. I almost died that way. But his word is stronger than any other word, more powerful. It does not return void. Now, I'd like to share with you four types of word. The first word is logos. It comes from the Greek word. Unfortunately, my wife isn't here today. She's not feeling well, but logos, and that is the totality of the written word of God, i.e. this. This is logos. This is the total word of God. This is it. This is it. Okay. The next one we have is rhema. The second one, second of the four, is rhema. Now, rhema is a personal word. When I say a personal word, it's in here. But when you read it, it makes supernatural sense to you. You may read that scripture 100 times, but on the 101st time, it will strike a chord in your heart like never before. It speaks directly to you. And what's so amazing is with the Bible is you can read it one day and it means something different 2 days later or 2 years later. It's living. It's alive. It's rhema. It's rhema word. Now, the first time I got rhema word, let me share with you. And again, some of you may have heard part of the story, but I'm using it to illustrate the power of a rhema word. When I first got saved in California, I didn't think I needed to be baptized. I thought baptized was for people, I don't know, other people. not this people. I just had this like massive mental block about being a reborn Christian, because the whole process for me was being a reborn Christian. So the church was encouraging me, and many, many, many times my wife was encouraging me, you need to get baptized, and I refused. Eventually, after much nagging by my wife, I decided to say, Lord, this is up to you. I mean, I was praying at the time and I was reading the Bible and I probably should have understood better, but I didn't. I said to God, right, I want to hear from you. No uncertain terms. I want to know whether you want me to get baptized. I'm going to open your Logos. I didn't know it was called Logos at that time. I'm going to open your Bible. And wherever you point me to, I want you to tell me in no uncertain terms whether I should be baptized or not. No uncertain terms. So being a brand new Christian, well, not that brand new, probably about 6 months, I grabbed the Bible, I closed my eyes, I twisted it round, back, forth, so I didn't know what direction it was. I wanted to be completely random. And now this is like, don't do this at home. That's not what you meant to do, okay? You're not meant to do that. But God saw my heart. God saw my heart. I was a brand new Christian and I didn't know much better, but He saw my heart. So anyway, I open up the Bible at the first page and there's a big fat 3 there. And it's actually John 3. And it's when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and asks how you can be reborn. I read the first couple of lines. I actually started crying. I knew God had spoken to me into my heart at that very particular moment. He spoke to me. And it changed me forever because I put the Bible down in my crying state. I picked up the phone and I said, when is your next baptism service? That is rhema. That's an example of rhema. But let me give you a little warning. God speaks to us in many different ways through this Bible. And by the way, whenever I read John 3 now, I read something very different. That's what I'm trying to say. God's word is changing. It's living. It's applicable to you at that particular time. A note of warning. Whatever you feel God is saying to you, it will never be, never, ever be contrary to what's in here. Word of warning. The third type of word, I have to take you to Ephesians 6. Now that's the armor of God chapter. Everyone, well, most people know the armor of God. It's the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shoes of, yeah, spreading the peace, spreading the gospel. Those are all protective armor. But there's one we haven't mentioned, and that is the sword of the Spirit. That's right. The sword of the Spirit. Now, just paraphrasing from Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the analogy used here is Roman armory. So the sword here is a short, straight sword carried by Roman soldiers. It was very effective in hand-to-hand combat. Very effective in hand-to-hand combat. In fact, it was essential for the survival of a Roman soldier. Hebrews 4:12 tells us this. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Wow. God's word is a weapon. It counters spiritual deception and accusations of the enemy. The fourth type of word, the Bible tells us of a very different kind of word. And I quote from John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here John is talking about the Word, Jesus, made flesh. So that's the fourth type of word. Now, what does Jesus, the Word of God, the Word made flesh, have to say about the Word? Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Why did Jesus say this? Just as you need physical food for your natural body to grow, to be healthy, you need spiritual food for your spiritual man to grow and be healthy. You need to build yourself up. As a new baby is born out of its mother's womb, what is its first instinct? To get milk from the mother. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. Now he's talking about when you are a spiritual baby or a spiritual child or a spiritual person, you need the pure milk of the word. Acts 20:32 says, now I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which can build you up. The word builds you up. God's word is the Bible. God's word is the Bible. And it will serve you as food for your spirit. It will build up your faith. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Why else did Jesus say, man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Why else did he say it? He told us that because it helps us grow. The other reason? He was quoting Old Testament scripture. That's what Jesus was doing right there and then in Matthew. He was actually quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. And I will read it out for you. It says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The experience of manna allowed Israel to realize that their basic source of life was God. Their basic source of life was God. But why was Jesus quoting Old Testament scripture? I just want to pull a couple of concepts here together. We've spoken about Logos, Rhema, the sword of the word, and Jesus being the word. But there's a scriptural illustration. I'm not going to paraphrase. I'm going to actually read it because I can't say it better than the way God says it. So just turn with me. This is where Jesus gets tempted in the desert. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, he was being tempted in the desert. And I'm going to read Matthew 4:1-11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. You got to be very hungry, very tired after 40 days of no food. During that time, the devil came to him and said to him, you notice when the devil comes? After 40 days, when he's tired, when he's hungry, when he's exhausted, that's when he's going to come for you. When you're tired, when your guard is down, that's when the devil comes. Sorry, continue. During that time, the devil came and said to him, Listen how sneaky he is. He doesn't say anything, but he plants a seed. Listen to what he says to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but of every word that comes from the mouth of God. He defended himself, the attack of a devil, by quoting scripture. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. Now the devil's sneaky. He thinks, okay, let me use scripture. He says to him, for the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on the stone. So basically now, the devil is tempting Jesus with scripture. Jesus' time was not ready to, it wasn't his time to reveal his lordship to the world. So he quoted scripture back and he said, Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. This is the great part now. Verse 11. The devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. Whew, okay, so basically we've got Jesus being tempted by the devil in the desert, and he's quoting scriptures back to the devil. Now, Logos, the totality of God's word. Now, Logos refers to the entire armory of God. So this is the armory of God. This is what Jesus went to, but Jesus was very specific. Rhema word refers to the specific right type of sword for the battle. So what did Jesus do? He entered the weapon room labeled Deuteronomy. All three times that he quoted back to the devil, he was quoting Deuteronomy. He was using the sword. He was using Rhema, that particular sword, for that particular moment, in that particular time. Now, Jesus' example just shows us how we can defend ourselves. We defend ourselves by the Word of God. We defend ourselves by the Word of God. Now, Jesus is an example that we should try and follow. It is essential for Christian soldiers, that's you, that's me, that's everyone in this room, we are Christian soldiers. It is of utmost importance for us to be proficient with our sword. My question to you, as a Christian soldier, do you hold a blunt, rusty penknife? Or do you hold a double-handed, razor-sharp, fire-tempted, shining battle sword? Which one do you hold? You have to become more proficient with your sword. I've got 5 practical examples for you to assist you with this process, to assist me, with the process of developing supernatural sword skills. The first one is, every Christian soldier should choose a Bible that most suits their needs. Every Christian soldier should choose a Bible that most suits their needs. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the Bible has been translated into 600 languages. Choose a language that is comfortable for you. If you are Afrikaans, get an Afrikaans Bible. If you can understand English, read the English Bible. But understand, read a Bible that you understand the language. The other thing is the version, the translation of the Bible. In English alone, there are 78 different translations of the Bible. There's the ESV, there's the NIV, there's the NLT, there's the Message. There are so many different types. I know some people don't like to read the Bible where it says, thee saith the old English way, you know, whatever it is. Basically, the old King James Version is not for everybody. The language is very old. It's not up to date. But there's some great Bibles out there. The English Standard Version, very close to the original translation. Excellent Bible. NIV, slightly looser translation, still an excellent Bible. I've even got one here. I've got a couple of different versions because I like to flick between them. This is the NLT that I was reading for you. It's an everyday language. If you struggle with the language, get yourself a translation that is easy to understand. The other thing, which I find incredibly helpful, is get yourself a study Bible. Now, the study Bibles, what they normally do is at the beginning of a chapter, they give you the background, the characters, the main themes. And then at the bottom, if you don't understand a verse, they sometimes give you some explanation on where to go elsewhere in the Bible to get more explanation. So a study Bible is of great value to everybody. The other thing is we live in an age where you can pick and choose whatever you want. You can have the paper Bible, but for some people that's old news. You can have it on your computer. You can have eSword. eSword is free. You can download it off the internet, the entire Bible in electronic format. Not only that, you can take it and you can download it onto your cell phone. So you can have it on your cell phone because no one goes anywhere these days without their cell phone. You should never go anywhere without your Bible, but put it on your cell phone so you carry it wherever you go. You need to look something up or pray something over somebody, you can't remember it, you got it on your cell phone. You can watch DVD Bible, you can listen to it, someone's read it out to you, you can read it. I mean, listen to it, someone else reading. There's every opportunity. There's the interactive Bible. You click on things, there's maps, there's characters, there's all sorts of things. So in this day and age, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Choose a format that most suits you. Second practical guideline. Set daily time aside to read and study the Word of God. Set daily time aside to read and study the Word of God. Preferably in the morning. God wants our first fruits, preferably in the morning. But not everyone can do that. Got an hour's lunch break? Use some of it to read the Bible. If you're struggling to find time in your day to read the Bible, I can only suggest one thing. Pray. Say, God, help me to find more time or make more efficient time in my day, and you will see him come through because God is faithful. He wants you to read this word. He wants you to read this word. God's wisdom will make you find that time. Number three, Christian soldiers should always pray for understanding, guidance, and revelation when you read. Always pray. Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit that is with us, in us. Holy Spirit, I'm about to read the Bible. Please help me to understand it. Help me to concentrate. Reveal what you want for me out of these scriptures. Pray beforehand. Essential. Essential. Now, what will happen is when you seek for the Holy Spirit to assist you while you're reading this, God will send you personal messages. As I explained with that water baptism testimony, he will send you personal messages. Look for promises to proclaim, commands to obey, examples to follow, and sins to avoid. They're all in there. They're all in there. And he will lead you to them. It's so funny, if you're struggling from something, it's amazing how the Lord will take you to a scripture that will tell you not to do it and encourage you on how to overcome it. It happens so often, but by the Holy Spirit. So pray before you read. Number four, this is very practical. Christian soldiers should have a structured reading plan. Don't open the Bible today, or you can, I'm not don't. I mean, there's no musts or do's, but if you open the Bible every day and read one chapter here, or one verse there, and go the next day, the next verse there, great, you're reading the Bible, but kind of not getting the value that you might. A word for people who've just started reading the Bible, and even if you have read the Bible for many years, go back to the basics. Start with John, the apostle of love. Read John. Read Matthew, read Mark, read Luke, and then read the Acts. That's raw Jesus in his best form. And we're here because of Jesus Christ. So start there. Start there, or go back there if you haven't been there for a while. If you, the entire New Testament can be read in 3 months. 3 months, that's not a long time, by reading 3 chapters a day. 3 chapters a day, that's not a lot. That's not a lot. If you've opened your Bible, some chapters are short like this. 3 chapters a day, you can get through the entire New Testament in 3 months. If you read 3 chapters in the Old Testament and 1 chapter in the New Testament every day, you'll read the entire Bible in 1 year. The entire Bible in 1 year. 3 chapters in the Old Testament, 1 in the New Testament. That's not asking a lot. That's not asking a lot. Then you've got places like Proverbs. Those of us with children or with businesses, it's very practical wisdom. Amazing, amazing wisdom you'll find in Proverbs. And you know what the beautiful thing about Proverbs? It's 31 chapters. Roughly 31 days in a month, you can read 1 chapter per day and cover it in an entire month. Occasionally, every now and again, you should set some time aside to read an entire book from the beginning, chapter 1, until the very end. Why do I say this? And why is it important? It's important to put everything in context. All the scripture that you read must be put in context. So if you read an entire book, you'll get the entire message of that book. Number 5, my 5th and last practical guideline for a Christian soldier. Memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture. And I'm talking to myself here. Memorize Scripture. It is the most beneficial practice that you can possibly ever adopt as a Christian. The best advice out of all of those. Number 5, memorize Scripture. I'm going to say it again. Memorize Scripture. Psalm 119 is a psalm dedicated to the Word of God. I just want to read 3 verses for you. 9 to 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. That is what Scripture says. In your heart, hide the word of God in your heart. The challenge is to write the Word of God on your heart. It will make you a much more effective Christian. God will still love you. God will still bless you. But you will be more effective. You must use the Word as a weapon to overcome Satan and all his temptations. When you get a temptation, quote Scripture back at him like Jesus did in the desert. If you don't know the Scriptures, come and ask me. If you're struggling with a particular area, I may not know them, but I'll find them for you. I was at a Mighty Men's conference 3 years ago with Angus Buchan. And he was actually sharing on the importance of memorizing Scripture. And he took all 60,000 men. There were 60,000 men that year through a little process. And I'm going to take you through that same process today. So, all you have to do is repeat after me. This is an exercise to help you learn the Word of God. So repeat after me. Mark 11:22. Memorizing happens by repetition, people. Repetition. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. One more time. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. So there I was, kneeling down in the throne room of God, on my knees, with the glory of God manifested all around me, blinding lights, the vision ends. The vision ends. And God brought this vision back for me for today to encourage you. I didn't know what it meant. I did not know what it meant. The next day I went down to my prayer closet. Same vision. I've never had a double vision before in my life. Same vision. I'm crouched, small, in this massive, massive, glorious throne room of God. Next thing. So it's the same vision. Next thing I noticed, there's a Bible in front of me. I put my head up, just ever so slightly, my chin up, and I see that the page of the Bible is open. I read the page. This is in the vision. I read the page. I carry on reading. As I read, I start to stand. I start to get up from my crouched position. I get up onto my knees. I pick up the Bible. I read it again. As I read it, I stand up full straight. Straight like I'm standing now. I'm reading the Bible and the Lord says to me, "Eat the scroll! Eat the scroll!" I tear off pages of the Bible and I start to consume them. I eat them, and as I eat them, I start to grow. I start to grow into this mighty giant. This huge, mighty giant, and I just keep on eating and eating and eating these pages. Next thing, I'm this monster of a man, a monster of a spiritual man. I look down at my arm and I see actual words running through my flesh in the veins. I see the words of God running through my body. This is the power of the Word of God. This is the power of the Word of God that you need to have in your heart. God will love you regardless. God will bless you regardless. God will answer some of your prayers regardless. But if you want power in your life, if you want to be a spiritual giant, I share this vision with God gave me for this very specific purpose. Read the Bible. Memorize scripture. Quote it to the devil. That is my message for you today. Can I ask you all to stand, please? Just close our eyes so we can pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, and we know what we need to do. But Father, it's not by striving, nor by performance, nor by anything that we can get to know you better, Lord. We ask by your Holy Spirit on this day, Lord, just to come and touch the hearts of every man, woman, and child in this room, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we can still bask in your glory, even though we don't read the word, Lord. But God, you give us power and strength through your word, Lord. It is the bread of life. Without that, we are nothing, Lord. We will not grow. We will not become the mighty Christian warriors that you have destined us to be. God, your word spoken in faith in the name of Jesus has the power to overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles. Lord, as we quote out scripture in the name of your Son Jesus, nothing is impossible for you. Father, your word accomplishes all your desires and all your purposes. Your word is backed by the power of heaven. Lord, when you speak, when we speak your word, Lord, we are tapping into that limitless power. I thank you that the word of God is like a sword. It's like a sword. Lord, we just picture it right now like a sword. It can drive a point home, Lord, or it can cut us free. It can cut us free from what's holding us back. We can say things like, "Devil, come out, because you are overcome by the blood of Jesus." We can say, "Cancer, leave this body, because by the wounds of Jesus, this child of God has been healed." Finances come into line, because my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Drugs or alcohol, I don't need you because the Son of God has set me free. Pornography, you have no more control over me because Jesus has set me free. I am a conqueror through Him that loved me. Lord, if there's anybody in this church that suffered like me, is challenged by the word, I ask them to raise their hand this morning. I ask them to raise their hand this morning. Don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm asking to bring it into the light. I'm asking to bring it into the light. Yes, thank you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. I'm going to ask you to be brave this morning. I'm going to ask you just to come forward. Come forward so we can pray. We can pray that you will be released in the freedom that only Jesus can give. I thank you for your bravery. I thank you for coming forward this morning. As I say, I believe this vision was only brought back to me because of today. The Lord wants to release all of us. He wants all of us to be mighty giants. He wants all of us to eat the scroll. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness on this day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to complete everything that you start. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Your Holy Spirit right now, Holy Spirit, I call upon your mighty power, your supernatural power, Lord. It is not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit. By your Spirit that we can release each one of us, Lord, myself, my brothers, my sisters. We release them into the freedom of the Word. We release them completely. Father, I pray for a supernatural ability to memorize Scriptures, Lord. And Lord, when the circumstance comes, Lord, I pray that you bring it to their mouths supernaturally, Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit, greater is He that lives in us than he that lives in the world. So thank you, Father, that each one of these people that have come before you on this day, Lord, they come before you. But Lord, minister to them. Lord, you don't love them any less. They are not to condemn themselves. Do not condemn yourself. Jesus died for you on the cross. It doesn't matter whether you read the Bible or not. He still loves you. His grace is enough. But Lord, we pray for mighty warriors on this day, Lord. We say, eat that scroll. And Lord, just like in that vision, our spiritual man will grow mighty, Lord. Will grow mighty and strong. Mighty and strong. Lord, we just want to give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord, as we release each one of these people into the liberty by which Christ came to set them free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.